Experiencing times when we're in the light and other times when it seems we're in absolute darkness and we don't know where we're going, we don't know what is happening, and that is the walk, that is life. Now of course people in the world experience to a certain extent good and bad times. You hear people saying it, and you hear family and loved ones talking about good and bad times. But very often they don't really fully understand spiritually what those good and bad times are. Whereas for us believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit, born again by the Spirit, God begins to show us what these light and dark times are all about. And he's teaching us that these light and dark times are all about our spiritual walk, our spiritual warfare, and how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And as we know, God has been teaching us much about our spiritual warfare over the last few months particularly. And so as we become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, so we learn more and more about the light and the dark times that we go through. And God is teaching us, isn't he, that his presence is with us, whatever our experience, whatever we're going through, he's always with us. He never forsakes us. And there are times when in the dark that it seems that God has forsaken us. And indeed Jesus in his flesh was experiencing a similar thing when he hung on the cross. But his faith knew that nothing could separate him from the Father. And that is what our faith in God is teaching us. That is our anchor, that whatever we go through in the light times and the dark times, our faith never separates us from the love of God, no matter what we may be going through emotionally or physically or whatever it would be. We know that God is with us and he will not forsake us. And the whole of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is just filled all the time with promises that he will not forsake us, but he will be with us whatever we go through. And I want to base tonight's teaching from Matthew chapter 10, and we're taking off Matthew chapter, and he says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, that cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows. So here Jesus speaks of something that we know very, very well. We've read many times that we are of more value than the animals and the sparrows and the birds who are ever fed and find food. He's trying to show us that nothing will separate us from the love of God. He's trying to show us that this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. Because our faith doesn't separate us from God. And this is why he's given us this gift of faith. And this faith is part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's developing, maturing, just like the rest of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is doing likewise. But he does say that we go through light and dark times. And there are times when God allows us to go through the experience of darkness in which to teach us and discipline us. But it's also a teaching and discipline to be able to hear and obey God when it's dark times. Anyone wants to follow the Lord when we're on the housetops, on the mountaintops, when we're seeing God and looking at him and experiencing his blessings. But there are times in the Christian walk when we're going to go through those deep, dark valleys. And that is where the real training has to take place. That is when our faith really starts to kick in. Why? Because in the dark places, in the dark valleys, we can't see. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what's lying ahead. We don't know what is behind. I'm sure most of us know and experience when we walk in the dark, it's like our senses all change. We have senses for the daytime when we can see. And there are also senses that come into operation when it's dark and you can't see. And everything then changes. There are certain things that we take for granted during the daytime suddenly become hypersensitive at night. For example, hearing. If you're in the dark and you can't see, suddenly your hearing becomes extremely sensitive. You have to hear. And that is often where you really hear God, where God trains and teaches us to hear God, is in the times when we're going through the dark places. In nature, when we look at the animals, so often their survival to live, they have to learn in the dark, those survival tactics. They're not needed quite so much during the daytime, but they're really needed at night. And so they will learn. They will learn from their parents. They will learn to survive from predators during the night. And so often God is teaching and doing the same with us, because in our warfare, we're not up against flesh and blood. We're up against powers and principalities. And Satan is the ruler of the darkness. He is of the dark, and his devilish demons work mostly at night in the dark. So we have to be taught in the dark, in the night, to hear God, to move with God, to rely on God, and our warfare, and so forth. So much of our training, much of the overcomer's training, is in actual fact in the dark, in the valleys. That is where God is really teaching us. But very few brothers and sisters can stomach this. We call it the wilderness. This is why many go back. Many don't want that. But you see, God wanted to call the children of Israel out of Babylon, out of bondage, and bring them into the wilderness, where they would really begin to learn and hear the voice of God, where they would really be trained by God in which to root out the enemy and take the promised land. And so the wilderness in many ways is like our darkness. And many avoid darkness. Many avoid the wilderness. They want to be on the mountaintops. They want all the froth and bubble. They want to feel good. They want to feel spiritual. They want to be kept being told that God loves me. But you, we don't know if God really loves us unless we go through a trial. Unless we go through those dark places in which then we learn about God's love, and that that love will never separate us. That's where we really are taught. And so that is how animals are taught to survive. They learn it by at night being aware from the predators and so on. And much of nature, animals' communication, particularly at night, is communicating amongst each other about predators, about survival. We could say, in effect, that when we come and listen to the Word of God, whether on a Sunday or now this evening, we're learning, we're communicating with each other. This is about survival. This is about making it into the kingdom of God. This is about walking by faith and not by sight. So we can draw these similarities. This is why it's important to hear the Word of God, because it's all about survival. It's all about living still in this world, being kept by God, because this world at the moment, Satan is the god of this world. And if God doesn't preserve and protect and keep us, we will be destroyed. So we can draw these parallels, can we not? And so at times God puts us in the shadow of his hand until we learn to hear from him. So when we go through these dark times, those dark times are a time when God has got us close. He's holding us in his hand. And it seems as though we can't see anything or anyone. It even seems as though God is not there. But that is where he's holding us. That is where he's preserving us. That is where he's teaching us. Let's read what it says in Isaiah 49 and verse 2. In Isaiah 49 and verse 2. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he has hidden me. There is something that we need to learn in our dark times, in the valleys, in the trials. Now this is the idea of like a serpent that is hidden until it's the right time in which to speak. And so often servants of God, prophets and whatever it is, are set apart, sometimes are set apart unto God, hidden by God, and so they learn to hear, and then they go forth with a message. This is why it is important for a minister to have that time in the Word and in prayer, in other words, before the presence of God, so that at the right time he comes to God's people with a message. He has heard what God has said and he passes it on to God's people. There is the same idea. And so when God puts you in the dark, you'll always find that when you go in the dark, or you're in the valleys or whatever it is, or you're going through trials, God has a way of stopping your mouth. God has a way of where we're very vocal at first, we hate the situation, we hate the circumstances, until eventually we're coming to the end, until eventually we drop. There's no more strength left in us. There's nothing more to say. There's nothing more that to say. You said it 1,000 times before him. You are at the end. You are finished. That is what God is working. That is what the valleys, the trials, the darkness is ultimately working, because God is silencing us so that he then can speak. Our emotions, our fears, our unbelief are all the while speaking before God. And for God to answer us, for God to honor our faith, he has to silence us. He has to silence unbelief. He has to silence why, questions, what if, and all those things. And so often, to do that, he has to take us into the dark. The dark times. So that in your trials, or when you communicate, when you speak in the dark, you will probably be just saying all those wrong things which we do, because we're saying it out of fear, out of reaction, out of despair, and all those things. Darkness is a time in which to listen. And if we don't listen to God, then he's going to put us in circumstances in which he will get us to listen. And he has a way of doing it. And our trials, those dark times, are one of the best ways in which God brings us to the end of ourselves, in which then we're ready to listen. You don't even talk. You don't even talk to other people. You just remain still. Don't even read books, or don't even put your ears to things or conversations, or even try to get tapes out and keep listening to the word to build yourself up. Yes, that has a place, because we know faith comes by hearing the word of God. But there are also times, brothers and sisters, when you put everything to one side and you just be still and listen. Because God wishes to speak. And so often when he wants to speak, there are things that he needs to show us. He might need to show us how to pray. He might need to show us what to do or who to speak to. There are so many things, but he has to get us to that place in which we're ready and open in which to listen to him. And so often, in the dark is one of the best places in which to listen to God. Now, isn't this contrary when you think about it, brothers and sisters? Because God is light. He is of the light. And yet he uses darkness in which to bring about light into your life and my life. This is why it's so wonderful with God. He uses the negative in which to bring about the positive. Only God can do that. But the dark makes us sensitive. It makes us sensitive and aware of movement, of voices, all those things, movement, voices, whatever it is, all seem to amplify at night. And we can visualize all sorts of things, what it can be. But you see, it's those conditions, those very conditions, that throw us completely on him. And that's the whole point. it's interesting that darkness actually helps us with our foundation, what we're standing on. We all like to confess that we stand on the rock of Jesus Christ, and of course that's what Jesus spoke to Peter when he said, upon this rock you stand. And sometimes we need to know from experience that rock that we stand on, which is Jesus Christ. And to experience that rock that we stand on, he has to use the dark times to show us how firm the foundation is, and nothing can move us from that foundation. We are resolute. We are standing firm upon it. Nothing can move us from the foundation that we stand on, which is Jesus Christ. And so we need to know that. That needs to come out in our life, in our walk, in our witness, in our experience, so that the world outside will see that whatever trials you go through, there's something about you. You stand. You don't go under. And yet you feel you're going under. You feel as though you're just about to be swallowed up. And yet that foundation is there. God is there. Why? Because nothing separates us from the love of God. It seems at times that it takes forever to hear God speak. But it's that that keeps us humble. It's that as we wait before God, and it seems as though God doesn't speak, God's forsaken me, God's left me. But what is that actually working within us? It's working that brokenness, that desperation. And desperate people before God will always humble themselves in desperate times. And so God is teaching us to keep those knees bowed in his presence, for he will not have pride. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that's why he's humbling a remnant now in these last days. And you are being humbled under the mighty hand of God. But it's not a humiliation in which to humiliate you in that sense, to make fun of you, to make sport of you, not at all. It's so that he may exalt you in that due time and season, so that you are raised up, not in your own pride and intellect, but you are raised up in the grace and love and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, with a new song in your heart, a new revelation of God, a touch in your life. Every time when God raises us up, you are raised different to when you bowed your knees, because you have met with the Lord. You've gone through those dark times, but you've been changed. And that's what he's doing with us, brothers and sisters. God doesn't make any mistakes. That's why we can rejoice in this. This is why we can count it all joy when we go through these various trials. Many times God sometimes has been speaking for days, but how long does it take me to listen? But when we do, the grace is there, and he has worked in my heart. And everything that God is going to speak into your life and my life, God has already gone before and done a work in which you can then receive the message. This very message that we are listening to tonight, God has been working. God has been bringing each one of us who is in the room tonight to that place where we can receive this word into our hearts. Isn't that wonderful that God has been working in you and I so that we could receive this tonight, so that we could be lifted up and encouraged? That some of us may have gone through dark times through the week. Some of you may be going through some real trials or whatever it is. But this is all so that we may be encouraged, we may be lifted up, so that we can receive even this word tonight into our hearts to encourage us and to hear what the Spirit is saying. This is why I keep saying, brothers and sisters, it is so important that we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. It's important that we hear what God is saying to us today, tonight, now. This very message that we hear tonight may be a means of life and death to us. This may be the very word that we're hearing tonight that is going to cause me to overcome, cause me to be able to stand, because tomorrow there may be a trial. This is why we go through the light and dark times. We don't know what is round the corner. None of us can be smug. None of us can take things for granted. We live in desperate times. Each day is a desperation of pressing in, taking the kingdom at times, even by force. Our dark times makes us fighters. It makes us really go for the kingdom. And we don't care what it looks like. We don't care what people think or so on. We're desperate. And God knows how to make us desperate, because we live in desperate times. And if it means that he's going to allow us to go through dark valleys, through testing, in which to bring out that desperation in us as believers, then he's going to do it. And this is why he will allow us to go through those dark valleys at times, those dark times. This is why he brings us into the wilderness, because that is where he can get the true worship and praise out of us. This is where we're real then with God. You can't be real with God for too long on the mountaintops, yet most believers want that. And of course the mountaintops are nice, don't get me wrong. But many can't take the dark valleys, the dark times. Many want to run back. Many want to give up, just like the children of Israel. They didn't want the wilderness and said, wish to God that we go back into Egypt. When God had got them out and he'd wrought a great miracle of bringing over a million people, a nation, out of bondage, only to find that what was really in their hearts, they wanted to go back. They were fighting against the dark times, the valleys. You know, brothers and sisters, we must not fight against this. Every trial, everything we go through is tailor-made for us. And these dark times are actually so precious, because in the dark, that's where you learn to hear God. In the dark times, it brings you to the end of yourself so that you can be still before God, and then you start to listen. So often we don't listen. We're coming to God with all our lists, all our problems, all our needs, all our prayers. And yes, they do have a place, don't get me wrong. But when you listen to God, and in those dark times when God then touches you, you then are placed with a new song in your heart. Those rivers of living water start to come out from you, and you can be a blessing. And you can be a witness. And people will know that you have been with Jesus. The trout side isn't convinced yet that God's people have met with Jesus. But if we stay with it, God will have a way of revealing his glory in and through us. And they will see that our Christianity, they will see that our walk is genuine, because they will see the trials and the tribulations that we go through, and yet we still stand. This is why the church through history has stood through every obstacle, everything that Satan has thrown at the Christian church. And this is why I like church history, because you read it, and she has stood through every generation, and how the enemy has tried to destroy the Christian church, I'm talking about the true Christian church, those who are under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and their covering is the blood of Jesus. Satan has tried to destroy that. But Jesus spoke to Peter and said, you stand upon this rock, the rock of Jesus Christ. And as we know in the Greek, it means the called out ones, the ecclesia. It means that we are born again, we are called out from the world, and we are placed and established upon the true foundation. And that is the rock of Jesus Christ. And that is what Satan tries to destroy. And you know why? Because that is what divides his kingdom. That is what is going to usher in the Lord Jesus Christ to rule and reign upon the earth and the saints with him. No wonder he's out trying to destroy. No wonder he's trying to deceive you. No wonder he's trying to trip us up. And this is why God will allow us to go through the dark times, because it's the dark times that is where you are really trained. That is where the true training comes. But you know, there are times when we feel like giving up. There are times when we just feel that those dark times are just too much. It's consuming me. It's destroying me. But that's why we have all the promises of God's word, that God is with us. He has not forsaken us. He's with us in the dark times. That's why we have a wonderful story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. But you know, there was another person there with them in those flames, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, standing with them there. And they were not burnt, they were not even touched. And it's the dark times in the valleys where you see in the fires not only yourself, but the Lord Jesus Christ that's with you, and all his ministering hosts and spirits preserving and keeping you. God will open our eyes to see this, brothers and sisters. Oh, he will. He will have ways of encouraging you. He will have ways of preserving and keeping you. He will have ways in which he will speak to you when it just seems that, my God, why have you forsaken me? When it seems no one is with you, no one is speaking, and it seems that if God has even forsaken you, you will see him there at that point. He will be right there at that right moment when it just feels you're being consumed and going under. It seems at times as though Satan has the upper hand. It seems at times as though your enemy is triumphing over you. It seems that they are laughing, they are jeering, they are mocking. But there comes a time when Goliath will be destroyed completely. Where did David, the shepherd boy, learn to use that sling? He didn't learn to use it with the armies of Saul. He was out on his own looking after sheep, and he had to rely on that to keep the predators away from the lambs, the wolves and the lions and so on. There were tough times. There were times of learning. There were times when it was just he and God, but God was teaching him about that sling. He was teaching him and showing him and giving him skill to be able to use that fatal blow against Goliath. And he's doing exactly the same with you and I, brothers and sisters. This is why I'm making so much about our spiritual warfare. You have got to learn those weapons that God has given to us. And Ephesians 6, the weapons of our warfare, and they're not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The Christian church is moving into her last and final battle, yet most Christians are asleep to this. It is time to wake up. It is time to arise. You say to me, oh, but brother, I'm in the valley. I'm in the darkness. I can't take any more. It seems everything is against me. Brothers and sisters, that is where you learn. That is where God is teaching you. We serve a God who is a God of miracles. You say to me, I'm bound by sickness. You say to me, I'm bound by oppression. I'm bound by debts. I'm bound by so much. You just don't know my circumstances. Brothers and sisters, you are in the right situation. That is where God is so close to you. That is where he's going to teach you. He's going to teach you these weapons. He's going to teach you his presence. He's going to teach you to hear his voice. You are in the right situation, whatever your circumstances. And all of us, I know some in the room here now, your circumstances couldn't get any worse. I know for a fact. But that is where you're being taught. That is where God is going to show you he hasn't forsaken you. Hallelujah. And when the light finally comes, it's going to be effective. And it's going to put the enemy to flight. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And God one day will show this peculiar treasure to a dying world. May God have mercy on us all.
Rushes onward, ever growing, till it finds dans tes